In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, we read this: "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Those words, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, those words from Paul in Romans bring up to us the subject of death. The wages of sin is death. And when you think about the Bible, we are confronted by death from almost the beginning to almost the end. Okay? In Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, the Lord said to Adam that he should not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he said, "For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." And so the penalty of death is introduced right at the beginning of the Bible. And when you come to the near the end of the Bible, we read about death again. In fact, we read about the second death. Listen to these words from Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. We read, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And this is one of the threads that runs right through Scripture. The Lord warned Adam at the beginning that he would die. And right at the end of the Bible speaks to us about the second death. And if you think about that, you will know that our own experience, the experience of every one of us in the course of our lives, is to be faced with death. Our own death, of course, and the death of loved ones. And so this is a reality that God has spoken to us of. And when we turn to Leviticus chapter 20, the whole of that chapter is concerned with punishment. The subject in Leviticus 20 is the subject of punishment. You know, the sins listed, as I read that through, I don't know if you had this reaction, as I read through Leviticus chapter 20, you may have said, "We've heard all this before. This is simply going over the sins that we've just read about." When we have read chapters 17, 18 and 19, these sins were spoken of there. So, for example, we read about someone taking one of his children and sacrificing that child to Molech. We read that at the beginning of chapter 20. It's already dealt with in chapter 18. We read about someone going to a medium. That has already been dealt with in chapter 19. We read about such matters as homosexuality. That has already been dealt with in chapter 18, verse 22. So this is not the first time that these sins have been listed out before us. But we may ask the question, well, why come to these sins again? Why mention them a second time? And the point is this: there is a development that has taken place from chapter 19 into chapter 20. There's something has happened. There is a change. What is that change? In what we've done before, the Lord has been saying to his people, "Do not do those things." It's been a command, a prohibition. Do not do those things. Do not sacrifice your children to Molech. Do not consult with mediums. Do not commit incest and adultery and homosexuality and so on. Do not do those things. But when we come to chapter 20, what we're now listening to is this. When a man does them, when a man does them, and the focus and the emphasis in chapter 20 is, the Lord is now telling us the punishments that he has appointed for these sins. The entire emphasis in Leviticus chapter 20 is upon punishment. Punishment. And it's punishment that will be administered or meted out by the people and by God. If you look, if you have your Bibles open and look at chapter 20 verse 2, he talks about if someone takes some of his children, one or more, and sacrifices them to Molech, well, what shall happen? He shall surely be put to death. There's the punishment. Now look, the people of the land shall stone him with stones. This is a punishment that the people, his neighbours, the citizens, they must administer that. But he goes on in verse 3, the next verse, and he says, I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from his people. And so I point this out to you tonight. When you read this text, you will see this time and time again. Words like this: he shall be put to death. I will cut him off. I will set my face against that man and his family. And we have to think about this. And we have to ask the question, why does this punishment fall upon the people of God? Why is death appointed for their punishment? And the answer is in the text. In this chapter, the Lord points out that these things are wicked in his sight. All of these things that are listed, he says things like this: these are wicked in the sight of God. I ask you just for a moment to think about the practices that God will punish with death. He says, if you take one of your children and sacrifice that child to Molech. Now, what's going on there? Well, Molech was a foreign god. Molech was an idol. And we know from the Bible that really Molech was a demon. This is a way of the unbelievers, as it were, pointing to the spiritual hosts of wickedness, to Satan and his army of demons. When they worshipped the idols, they were seeking the devil and his angels. And what were they doing? Why would they take one of their precious children and sacrifice them to a demon? Why would they do that? Well, what were they trying to achieve? They were trying to, as it were, to win the blessing of the devil. That's what it's all about. To win the favour of the devil. And the price of seeking the devil's favour, the devil's partnership, the price of that was the life of a covenant child of God. That child may have been precious to his dad and his mum, but he was precious to God as well. The Lord would look upon that child. That is one of the covenant children that have been sacrificed to the devil. And you'll notice, I hope you'll notice, that within a breath, he's moved on to those who go and consult mediums. I have been staggered how many people in the district around this church go to spiritualist seances. This is rife in this generation, in the people around us. But in Israel, what were they doing when they went to consult a medium? They were seeking knowledge and help from the devil. This is seeking to commune with the powers of darkness. That's what it is. And the Lord says about this and other things, he says, when you do this, you are behaving like prostitutes. This is how wicked it is. You're forsaking your God and you're going after the devil. That is spiritual harlotry. He then speaks about some of their other behaviours. And he uses words like this. I think in our text we have the word wickedness. But the word in Hebrew means it is an evil invention of the human heart. It is a device that they have worked out. It doesn't come from God. In another place he says, your behaviour is behaviour of confusion. And the word is the same root as the name Babel, where the tongues, the languages were confused. It's as if he's saying, this is the confusion of the godless world that you're following. He tells them, God tells us how he feels about these practices. He uses a word like loathing. I loathe what you're doing. He uses the word like abomination or abhor. All of this is telling you that God has a view of these things. And it's out of that view that the punishment of death comes. Now, we need to look. That's why I put it on the service sheet. We need to take account of the character of God. In Exodus chapter 34 and the second part, verse 7, he says this, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. What is God saying? He's saying, I am not going to turn a blind eye to sin. I'm not going to turn away and say, there, it doesn't matter. I'm going to pursue it down through the generations. I will punish sin. God is a God who will punish sin. And that's the message from Leviticus chapter 20. That is, this chapter is almost unbearable to read when you realize what it's saying to you. What is your view of God? What is your theology? What do you understand of your God? This is one truth. He will punish sin. And I say to you tonight that in this chapter, certain sins are listed. Going to Molech, going to a medium, sexual sins, some sins are listed. But what the Bible tells us is that all sin God will punish. In the holiness and justice of God, this is what the Bible teaches, not one sin committed by the human race will be overlooked. Not one. Someone put it in a hymn somewhere, the soul that sinneth dies. Thy judgment, Lord, we've heard. And this is truth from Scripture. God will punish. He is holy. He is just. And he must have his justice satisfied. God will punish the sins of men. And the whole emphasis in this chapter is upon the death of the sinner. I hope you can see that. If you didn't notice it when I read it, look again. It's the death of the sinner that we're being shown. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I will set my face against him, and I will cut him off from his people. We are talking about the death of the sinner. Now then, secondly tonight, I want to step back and say to you, but the Bible speaks about another death. In Leviticus chapter 20, we have been confronted with the death of the sinner, but the Bible leads us to another death. Do you remember the verse I read just now? Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but it doesn't stop there. But it says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. What I want to say to you tonight is that I said to you that sin is, and death in particular, is introduced in Genesis chapter 2, and we read it in Revelation chapter 21. It spans scripture. Death spans scripture. But that is not the end or the beginning of the biblical story. Death is not the whole picture. Now let me say this. Long before we ever come to Leviticus chapter 20, we have read Leviticus chapters 1 to 7. And in Leviticus chapters 1 to 7, we read about other deaths. We read about the deaths of bulls and goats and animals. The first thing that we are presented with in Leviticus is death. It is the death of those animals which are sacrifices for sin. And we know that those deaths foretell and point us forward to one death. All of the deaths, all of the sacrifices of the bulls and goats, they point us forward to the death of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Or if you like, Leviticus chapters 1 to 7 shout to us, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." When Leviticus chapters 1 onwards, they show the sinner bringing the sacrifice, and they show him putting his hand on the head of the bull or the goat. It is teaching us that these animals were sacrifices for sin. But it is not. It doesn't leave us there. It is constantly pointing us forward to one death, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to ask this evening, why did Jesus become man? And why did he die? That's the question. Why did Jesus become man? And why did he die? That's the question. He became man, listen, he became man to come and join himself with his brothers. This is the amazing thing. When he appeared in Bethlehem, when he was born in Bethlehem, he came to join us, his sinful brothers. He came, as it were, to accept us as his brothers. And this is amazing, that he came not just to accept us as his brothers, but to accept the responsibility for our sins, to accept our guilt. When he came in Bethlehem, it was to come for his sinful brothers and accept the guilt of their sins. And when he came and joined himself with us, he became liable for our guilt and liable for the punishment that should fall upon us. That's what he did. Jesus came to make himself liable to the punishment of the law. When we read in Leviticus 20 about the death of the sinner, when we read in Genesis chapters 2 and 3 about the death of Adam and his posterity, when we read about this death, we must remember that Jesus came himself to die. He came to die. That's why he came. The Bible speaks about him like this, that he was cut off. We have these words in this chapter. I will cut him off from his people. Jesus was cut off. We read about he must surely be put to death. We confess that Jesus was dead and buried. Dead and buried. These things are everything to do with our Lord Jesus Christ. God says there that he will set his face against the sinner. But when we come to Jesus Christ, we find at Calvary that God set his face against his Son. That's what we find. He set his face. The Father set his face against his Son. This is absolutely staggering, you know. This is staggering. You know, when God the Father talks about setting his face against a man, do you know that that's the very opposite of the great benediction of Aaron? Aaron holds his hands up over the people and he says, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. This is the opposite of God setting his face against the sinner. This is the staggering truth, that God set his face against his Son, Jesus Christ, so that he indeed might shine upon us and favour us in his grace. This is what's happening. You see, by God's great gift, the gift of his Son, we can move on from Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the first line. The wages of sin is death. We can move on to the second line. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I said to you at the beginning that the Bible kind of begins with death and it ends with death, but it's not quite true. The Bible begins and ends with life, life in Christ. That is, if you like, that truth overarches the truth of death. Right in the heart of the scriptures are four accounts of the crucifixion. He was crucified, dead and buried. He died. He suffered the punishment of the law. And that punishment was administered, by men, just as this stoning was by men, by the people. But it was administered, as it were, in the purpose and will of God. It came from God. The punishment of our Lord Jesus Christ came from God the Father. He bore the wrath of God. And I say to you tonight that it is true that our lives are lived under the shadow of death. In this world we are confronted by death all the time. But if we are in Christ Jesus, our lives are lived under the shadow of life. It is life in Christ that we receive. Life in Christ. In the end, in Christ Jesus, there is everlasting life. Everlasting life. He who believes in me, he says, will never die. In other words, when we put our trust in Jesus Christ, when we turn to him, we can read Leviticus chapter 20 is unbearable. It's unbearable. We think of those stonings, those burnings, those being cut off, those deaths. We think of those things and we realize that it wasn't just them. It wasn't just the ones who sacrificed their children to Molech. It wasn't just the ones who went to mediums. All that sin will die. We are caught by Leviticus 20. We are confronted with the punishment of sin under the hand of a just God. And this chapter would leave us ruined forever, if it were not for that one death which took place nearly 2,000 years ago at Calvary. The soul who trusts in him will never die. That's the gospel. That's the truth. He who believes in me will never die. So I say to you tonight, when you read about the wages of sin is death, when you read about that, you know that that is telling you that God will and must punish your sins. Not one. The wages will all be paid out. All the recompense will come. But if you look to Christ, if you belong to him, if you've joined yourself to him, you know that those wages have already been paid. That punishment has already been meted out. But not on you and not on me, but on the dear Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. May God grant that we all may be safe in Jesus Christ. Amen.